Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman, founder of the Dementia Whisperers Incorporated. Laura Wayman, nationally recognized expert on dementia and author of A Loving Approach to Dementia Care, published by Johns Hopkins University Press, joins you and 16 million caregivers with real answers and help, with love, wisdom, and compassion for your personal questions and concerns on the dementia journey. Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. Call in at 929-477-1393. That's 929-477-1393. And now, live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. Are you caring for a loved one, a resident or client who is presenting dementia symptoms and challenging behaviors? Our vision is to open up discussion in order to greatly improve quality of care and excellence in service to individuals with Alzheimer's disease or any dementia and related illnesses, and to lend a reassuring hand to their caregivers and families. This is an interactive call-in show, and we want to hear from you, our listeners. I remind you, our call-in line, 929-477-1393. That's 929-477-1393, and the generous Laura Wayman is offering a free copy of her wonderful book, All About Dementia, published by Johns Hopkins University, A Loving Approach to Dementia, to our first two callers today. So that's something to write down, 929-477-1393. We love your calls and questions, and there are no wrong calls or questions. Believe me, it's a learning journey for all of us. So this is co-host Scott Cluthie, and I welcome the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. Hello, Laura.
Hello, Scott, and thank you for that wonderful introduction. I am always so honored to be here with you. So could you take just a minute to tell our listeners about you? You are so experienced in this media. You've done so many wonderful things, and I want our listeners to know that I am with the very best here today.
You are so kind. Thank you. And in fact, since we have such an outstanding guest today, Eileen Kelly, who specializes in the healing principles of music for senior care, I'd like to talk a little about how I actually began with Pacifica Radio here in Houston, one of the Pacifica stations, non-commercial KPFT, working with a show that I called Vibrations. And yes, that had a lot to do with music, because I studied vibrations and vibrational frequencies for, you could say, enlightenment, for self-healing, for opening up. I went and trained with a very excellent teacher at the time, William David, who's passed on, who came, who was an opera singer as well, and it was part of a spiritual practice. But in then taking that knowledge and information and learning and growing and sharing music. So my show was not just a talk show, Vibrations. It was 2 hours, three times a week, and contained a lot of music, including great healing musicians who were very early pioneers, like Stephen Halpern, who I had the privilege to be with live on the air, and many, many, many others. And, of course, people started to send music to me and tapes and records. Of course, there were lots of records at that time, like I still have. And so that was incredible, and music has always been an important part of my journey and what I feel the unspoken healing power of just music itself. So I'm very excited to talk with Eileen Kelly today about her healing music in her practice, helping seniors through music therapy. That's something I've talked or known about for decades. So it's a really exciting, Laura, that you would have a music therapist here with us on the show today.
I have been so excited about this, Scott, because I have had the privilege of hearing her speak, hearing her play, just really getting to know her passion and how music has been so important to her and making a difference in so many people's lives. So I'm really thinking this is probably going to be one of our best shows. No pressure, Eileen, but we're going to get Scott to introduce you here properly. And I just want our dear listening audience to know you're not alone. So if you have worries, concerns, or anxieties, if you need advice, inspiration, or encouragement on your dementia care journey, you've tuned into the right place. Stay right with us today for this hour. We'll be taking your calls, talking about the newest information about dementia, how to better manage the symptoms, and spending some time learning about dementia from a very different perspective. And today, it's through the wonderful venue of music therapy. So, Scott, give Eileen her due right here, because we need to have some time to talk to her.
Absolutely. This is going to be an exciting program. Our guest today is Eileen Kelly. She holds a master's degree in music and taught music at American River College for 18 years. In 2004, she certified as a music practitioner through the Music for Healing and Transition program. She now teaches nationwide for that organization. Eileen has been active as a harpist and teacher in the Sacramento Valley for over 30 years now. She's one of the founding members of Music Partners in Healthcare and currently serves as president of the board. As a certified music practitioner, she provides live therapeutic music at bedsides of patients in hospitals and in-care facilities and currently coordinates a therapeutic music program at Kaiser Medical Center in Roseville. Music Partners in Healthcare, MPIH, is a Sacramento-based nonprofit that partners with local healthcare facilities, providing live therapeutic music at bedside to create an environment of dignity and comfort for patients. MPIH has recently started, just this year, 7 new memory care programs at local facilities where certified music practitioners provide live music sessions one-on-one for the residents. Live music provided by musicians professionally trained for this purpose can meet the changing needs of a patient, ease physical and mental suffering, create a sense of community and opportunity for socialization, and reconnect individuals with past memories as well. Practitioners are also trained in an appropriate use of music for acute illness and end of life, and are able to provide that service to memory care patients as needed. Eileen Kelly, welcome to Live with the Dementia Whisperer.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here today.
And Eileen, can you tell us a little bit about what does it mean to be a certified music practitioner? I once again have had the opportunity of hearing you speak. You've got so many stories, and tell us what that means. What is that?
Well, a music practitioner is a little different from a music therapist. As a music therapist, a person would work with rehabilitative goals, a lot of group sessions with recorded music. But as a music practitioner, I primarily use music in the moment, live music, at the bedside or at the side of a patient, just meeting their immediate needs in the moment. And so it's different with every visit, it's different with every patient, and the music is customized and molded for their immediate comfort.
And I love that, because you've heard my presentation, you've heard a very vital key point in my training, that we have to customize every single care approach, especially if there is dementia involved, because everyone presents differently, everyone has different struggles and challenges and wins and accomplishments. And so when we had the opportunity of presenting at a workshop together recently, it was very exciting that we are truly integrated in this whole idea of a music practitioner, the dementia whisperer, and I am so pleased that I have had the opportunity to get to know your program. And Eileen, tell us a little bit about some of your wins, some of those stories that how you really have helped that person with physical or mental suffering. You've created a engagement and communication that you just can't get without music.
You know, Laura, the stories are just endless. Every every day is another, I wonder what it's going to be today. But one of the, just in a general way, one of the things that I find so fascinating and so rewarding is that the patient who is so disoriented and struggling and so uncomfortable and fighting their situation, that through the music, all of a sudden we tap into an area of their brain that really is still functional. And we use that to facilitate their comfort. I'm thinking of a patient that I had just recently who was so upset and combative with his caregivers in a facility. And when I came alongside of him and began to play You Are My Sunshine, he lit up, his whole demeanor changed, and he began to sing along. And one of the really beautiful parts of the story was that his nurse looked at him and started calling other caregivers, saying, "I've never seen this side of him." And so all of a sudden, she was introduced to this patient as a real person with a real life.
Oh, that's so wonderful. It just, it almost makes me tear up because it's sometimes that's the only way we can reach them. The ugly doors of dementia, often they're behind that and they're frightened. And the more we try and reach them through just normal ways of communication, just make it all just worse. And so to find that key to the treasure chest of getting in there and helping them for even just a few moments to feel safe and secure, that is just so extremely important. And just I would have loved to have had that on videotape. I'm sure you would too, because when we get those meaningful moments, they are just so priceless, aren't they, Eileen?
It is. It's really wonderful because not only is the patient now comfortable and compliant with what needs to happen, but the staff can see this person as a person and not a problem that they have to deal with.
Yes, exactly.
That's so true. Eileen, I wanted to ask you something because I'm always curious, you know. This has been a long journey for you to the music therapy practitioner. But what brought you, A, into music and the harp in particular, and then, B, what triggered the idea of being a music practitioner and healer?
I was born with music in my soul. That's the only answer I can give to what brought me to it. And I think I wanted to play the harp as a child before I even knew what a harp was. I can't even really explain what my lifelong fascination with the harp has been. But it has been something that all my life I have found personal expression in it. And as a teenager, I began to just be so curious about what it was about music that made me feel things and made other people feel and respond the way they did. And that's what drew me towards music therapy. Music therapy, though, when I was a young college student, was not readily available as an educational path. And so I majored in music. I got a master's degree in music history and literature, but always with this fascination about music therapy. And then I had several experiences where people had asked me to come and play for loved ones. And I saw the remarkable transformation that would happen through music in a healthcare setting. And as I investigated, I found that there was this other area of study that I could become a certified music practitioner, and that through that work, I could provide therapeutic music at bedside. And I thought, you know, that's what I want to do. That's really what I was after from the beginning. And so I pursued it and have never looked back. It's just been a great journey.
Thank you for sharing that.
That's pretty amazing story. And Isn't it interesting how there are these callings that happen and bring us to where we're supposed to be, and then when we're there, there's this feeling of the opportunity to really bloom and to grow. I have had a lot of experience with music and many different things going on with music. I always wanted to be a musician. I wanted to sing. I sang a lot when I was in high school with the choir and the different music groups. And then I went on to have a little bit of a professional music career. I kind of traveled around and did a little bit of entertaining. And then I got married, had children, and then came back to it briefly because I had the opportunity to sing with a opera chorus in Denver when I was living in Denver for about 4 years. I actually took a class and sang with Placido Domingo, which is amazing.
And wonderful.
I know. Isn't that crazy? And love music and loved entertaining. And then this whole thing happened with my mom passing away while she was caring for my dad and understanding that there needed to be more dementia awareness for these caregivers that are struggling, that this was really my calling. And so then it just morphed into this, yet still a performance and a presentation and entertaining, but more helping people to understand dementia. And so that's it, kind of, like I said, it morphed into this calling that I love what I do, but and want to do more of that. But there's sometimes when I really miss that whole musical background. I was a part of some choirs at Sierra College, the community choir, for many years. That's a little community college here. So I don't have time to do that anymore. So I miss that musical part, and that's really important. So, but I still have my calling, my helping those caregivers that need help with dementia and having that understanding. So it's very exciting for me to talk about something so positive, because with dementia, and I'm sure Scott will agree, sometimes we are just talking about just slogging through all of this information, and dementia is so dark. And so this is so nice, because this is something that can really give back to those folks that have even very advanced Alzheimer's and dementia, and reach them like we just talked about with that gentleman, reach them in a place where nothing else can give them that sense of safety and security and love and accomplishment. It is that one little section of their brain that stays there so long. And I know that you are seeing that too, Eileen, aren't you?
I am. And, you know, I think that in a situation where you've got a loved one with dementia, life is so very difficult. But music not only transforms the experience for the patient, the person with dementia, but it also has a way of touching the person who is providing it. And so when caregivers will include music in their care experience, the whole experience is going to go so much better, but also it's going to lighten their burden, because everyone feels better when they sing, when they participate in music, and it lightens it for both people. There's years ago, I late 1990s, Tom Kitwood put together a model that we still use that talks about basic human needs, and he talks about our need for attachment, for love, for comfort, identity, inclusion, and occupation. And music is one thing that meets all the basic human needs. And we need to use it. We need to capitalize on this fabulous resource that we have and involve it as we care for these precious people.
And that is
Laura,
so
I wanted to ask Eileen a question. Because one of the things that's really great about your work, Eileen, is the spontaneity of the music itself.
Oh, yeah.
So I wanted, I wanted to get a sense of what you're – obviously you have a real high intuition because you're operating with someone, and, you know, it's that unspoken communication. And so you're coming to someone who may or may not be able to verbalize other than to smile, say, oh, yes, that'd be lovely, or, oh, that reminds me of my childhood, whatever. And as Laura's talked about, and I learned from her, that dementia, as it progresses, is like the filing cabinet that is backwards. So you open the drawer to see what's there today, and you end up back in 1957, you know, and that's the file that shows up. But music is the memory we carry within our cellular being, I believe, from the first time that we resonate to it forward. And so that music is always there within us waiting to be triggered. You walk into someone's bedside, you have your harp, or you bring it in, you wheel it in. I don't think I could lift it, but anyway. How do you talk a little about that intuitive in-the-moment immersion of spontaneously going with what you're feeling is wanted or needed? How do you do that?
Well, you know, it's a lot of spontaneity, but it isn't just catch the wind. It's we are trained as certified music practitioners in ways to assess and evaluate a situation. So when I walk into a room, I'm not only scoping out the room for what's there, but I'm noticing the pitch of the patient's voice. I'm noticing any rhythmic gestures. I'm noticing if there are other medical issues involved. Is there trouble breathing? What kinds of medical interventions may be involved? And often the staff can be very helpful in alerting me to those things. And then based on those observations, then I select, and often I improvise, music that meets that patient's needs in the moment. We also, especially with memory care, assuming there's not another medical issue that trumps using familiar music, but we look for providing music that comes from around their late teens, early 20s, because that is when people tend to form their musical preferences, their musical attachments, their favorite songs. And we gear our music towards when they were in that age bracket. And we select based on how old they are and what we have in our repertoire. And there are some things that are just kind of universal that you know, I haven't met anyone between the ages of 70 and 105 that hasn't responded to You Are My Sunshine. That's just one of the songs of those years. Another one is Somewhere Over the Rainbow. My Bonnie Lies Over the Ocean. Oh, Shenandoah. You know, and so we have some kind of general. And then we also try to develop a repertoire of specific popular tunes that may particularly reach a generation. People in their 80s or 90s really, really like the song The White Cliffs of Dover. And that was a popular tune during the wartime. And that song was a song of hope that they recognize and respond to. Home on the Range. And so we are intuitive, absolutely we're intuitive, and we're watching their response every moment for is this a good choice or a bad choice. But we are working from specific tools that we've been trained with.
Thank you.
And that individual response, it's so important that we pay attention to that.
I
talk about that once again in my training because it's all about that customized approach with music or with communication, with any care approach, especially with somebody with dementia, because as Eileen's talking, it's reinforcing the fact that that person with dementia their feelings and emotions remain. They lose the ability to process that as they would when they had a normal brain, but the feelings and emotions are still there. So what happens is they feel those responses, that emotional response, when they hear that music. And I often talk about, you know, when I first learned to drive, and this is going to date me terribly, but that's okay because everybody knows I'm old in the older generation. However, when I first learned to drive, one of the Beach Boys songs was really, really popular on the radio. So whenever I would crank up the radio and drive by myself, I got these wonderful feelings of joy and independence, and isn't this the coolest thing, I can drive? And so when I hear that song, it still dredges up those feelings.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's all about how that music makes you feel and watching what exactly is happening. And you were talking about sometimes it's not the best response. Sometimes there is some feeling triggers that are really hard for someone to deal with. When I was a executive director for a memory care program, I heard, oh, music is the best thing, we should put some music on. And so I, of course, thought, well, Frank Sinatra, that's it. And so during dinner, I would play in the background Frank Sinatra. And most of the residents in my memory care program, they really enjoyed that. It was just very quiet in the background. It wasn't something they had to think about. It wasn't too much information. But there was one lady who would cry throughout dinner. And I couldn't figure it out because she didn't do that if I didn't play Frank Sinatra. So I talked to her family, and come to find out, her husband had played in a band that backed Frank Sinatra, and he had passed away a few years ago, and that just brought about these feelings of missing him. And she couldn't express it other than to just weep. So that's so important, isn't it, I mean, that we watch each and every single person for their individual response.
Well, and I think that story really illustrates that point, that the music that is good for one person may not be good for the next person because of the memories it triggers. And one of the reasons that I'm such a proponent of live music working with memory care is so that we can monitor those responses and not just bring back those tragic, sad places, but bring back the good things. And we have to watch and we have to adjust, because even with the same patient, with the same person, it may be different tomorrow.
Exactly. That is so true. Wow, that 30 minutes has flown by. We're almost ready for our mid-show break. This is just so exciting. We have lots more to talk about with Eileen, and I love having the opportunity to spend some time with you. I'm really looking forward to an opportunity. I believe in November I'll be speaking to your group, and I'm so excited about that because I will learn so much more.
We're excited too. Yeah,
it'll be just wonderful because I learn something new every single day about dementia and how to better support that person with dementia and especially support those caregivers. So when we come back from our mid-show break, let's talk about how that also helps that caregiver, the staff, just like you were talking about, just get them, everybody singing, how it changes the whole vibration in even a memory care, skilled nursing, how much this can help them and make a difference in those situations where it's not always a lot of fun. So when we come back, we can talk about that. So, Scott, would you mind taking us to our halfway break here?
Absolutely, but I would like to give Eileen a moment to talk about that wonderful website. I've been sampling a little of that harp music in the background, but I don't know if I was interfering or not, but it's so beautiful to hear. So, Eileen, tell us about the website for the organization and what people can find there.
Music Partners in Healthcare is Sacramento specific. It's for this region, but our purpose is to provide networking opportunities and to educate the public. And so on the website, we've got some biographies of who's involved locally, and we also have a CD there that's for sale. It's the Lullaby Gift. and it's just quiet, simple music that seems to work not only for babies but for all ages.
Well, yeah, a lullaby would put me to sleep anytime. Our guest today here on Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman, it's Eileen Kelly, and she is one of the founders, music practitioner as well, for the Music Partners in Healthcare, currently serves as the president of the board as well. So you want to check out that website and find out more. As always, we love your questions and comments, your call-ins. The call-in line, we are on live now. We'll be for another 30 minutes, so don't be shy. Give us a call, 929-477-1393. That's 929-477-1393. You're listening to Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. And we'll be back after these important reminders from our mid-show break. Stay with us, won't you? You're listening to Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. Call in with your personal questions and concerns on the dementia journey. Call 929-477-1393. And visit Laura Wayman online at laurawayman.com. We'll be right back.
I want to thank my mommy for loving me so much, for taking me out to the park, for reading me books, for
taking me to the doctor when I broke my foot in ballet rehearsal,
for leaving me alone when I wanted to be alone. And
now, as a grown-up, I'm thankful for being able to take care of you, my dear mom, for having the chance to take you to the park, for reading you those books we enjoy so much, for being able to take you to your therapies after you twisted your ankle, for understanding that sometimes you simply want to be alone.
Roles change without us noticing. And in your new role, we help you help. Visit aarp.org/caregiving to get practical health and wellness tips to provide even better care for your loved one. Remember, visit aarp.org/caregiving. AARP. We help you help. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The odds of becoming a signed artist and having 4 number one albums. 1 in 100 million. The odds of going on to win 7 Grammy Awards. 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of this performer having a child diagnosed with autism. 1 in 68. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Autism Speaks, it's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. We love to hear from our listeners. Call in at 929-477-1393 and visit Laura Wayman online at laurawayman.com. And now, Laura Wayman, the Dementia Whisperer. This is co-host Scott Cluthie welcoming you back to Live with the Dementia Whisperer on this Wednesday early evening, I guess East Coast, West Coast, Pacific Coast, wherever you might be, reminding you of our live call-in number, 929-477-1393. We are very honored to have Eileen Kelly is our guest today. She's one of the founding members of Music Partners in Healthcare and currently serves as the president of the board. And now I go back to the one and only Laura Wayman, the author of A Loving Approach to Dementia Care, Making Meaningful Connections with the Person Who Has Alzheimer's Disease or Other Dementia or Memory Loss, published by Johns Hopkins University. Laura.
Thank you, Scott, and thank you for always mentioning my book, A Loving Approach to Dementia Care, and I am very excited to talk about that. This spring, my second edition will be coming out. I am just finishing up with the copy editing. I have all the material turned in, and so it is going to be published this spring. I'm very excited, and lots more information along with the basics that is in the book already. And then we're also, Scott and I are also working on a very exciting project that will be coming up because I will be doing a training video, and this training video will be available for all the different venues that will be able to utilize it to train staff, family caregivers to train themselves and other family members, for all the different care providers to have that dementia awareness, that ability to understand dementia. So be watching and listening for more information on those. They're coming up, and it's going to be very, very exciting. And Eileen, thank you so much for being here. I just was riveted to you when we were at that workshop listening to your presentation. And I know that you also help those caregivers, those staff, the family members, you know, how important is music for them as well if they're not the one that has the affliction, the diagnosis of dementia, the other kinds of situations in healthcare, that you might be there for that person who has the diagnosis, but also how does it help with those caregivers?
You know, that's a complicated question. It sounds simple, but it is complicated. But you're right, because music is going to touch everyone involved. I think of a man that was sitting by his wife's bedside, and she was so confused, and she didn't know who he was, and I came in and began to play for her. She was pulling at IVs, and she was kind of distraught, and I started to play for her, and she started to sing the songs, and for half an hour, she sang every verse of every song that I played for her. Well, that was wonderful for her, but her husband, sitting there holding her hand, just sat there and wept, because it was the wife that he hadn't known for a very long time. She was back, and she was singing, and it touched him so deeply, and it relieved his stress for that amount of time. I tell caregivers that when they run into difficult situations, and just quite frankly, some of the most difficult situations in caregiving happen in the bathroom, whether it's brushing teeth or getting dressed or whatever, those are usually some of the most difficult times. But sing a song that you know was a part of their life, and just make that a part of the routine. And one of the phenomenal things that happens, because that part of the brain that holds and processes music lasts so much longer, it is still capable of making connections. And the song that is always the song that we sing when we brush teeth just makes the chore go easier. When we're putting on the shoes and trying to get those sorted out, we have a little song that we sing. The whole process goes more easily for everyone involved. And the very act of singing by the caregiver brings oxygen into the lungs and into the body and relieves stress.
And it simply can help with those challenges when we can't reach that person because of the way we are making them feel. So just like Eileen is talking about, there's lots of challenges in the bathroom, but how are we often making that person with dementia feel if they're having a difficult time understanding why you, as a outside person, you're coming in and being involved in things that are very private? There's shame and embarrassment that it causes. That's just what happens. We don't mean to do that as caregivers. And
right.
So I can tell you that when I was caring for a lady helping out, and I was actual caregiver for a lady with dementia and helping her with a shower, she was resisting me when I was trying to even help her unbutton her blouse. But I started singing Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head. And she started to laugh, and then she allowed me to unbutton her blouse and to get her in the shower, and she would let me just shower, and she just laughed and laughed because she thought that was so funny that we were singing Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head while we were in the shower. It was so simple and so basic, but touched her in a way that made her feel less invaded, basically, and just took her mind off of those feelings that are very normal for someone. Of course you'd be feeling that way if you were feeling uncomfortable with somebody trying to help you with that, and you want your privacy and you have your modesty, and someone's coming in and taking away those feelings of independence and ability to do it yourself. So once again, like Eileen is talking about, it touches that place in them that helps them to get through that and feel some other more positive emotions that that music can bring about.
Oliver Sacks is one of the main researchers in how music interacts in the brain, and that one of the things he says is that the emotional response to music still lingers, and even in an abstract way, even with music that might not be familiar to them, they are still going to have the ability to make an emotional connection there. And like you said, Laura, it's just so simple, and yet it's absolutely magical in what it can accomplish.
Yeah, and once again, we're back to less information is best. Keep it simple. Talk to those feelings. And that is, it's not just true with those with dementia. We all like that, those of us with a normal brain who are not suffering from dementia symptoms or loss of normal brain function, we like the way these simple things make us feel as well. And you know, I can think of music that will make me feel just absolutely marvelous, and I can also think of music that doesn't make me feel too good. I just don't like it. And that's okay. We can have that, and it's a matter of finding that customized approach like we talked about. That's really important too. Have you, in your practice, I'm sure you have, seen some negative reactions to music as well, Eileen?
Well, yeah, I have, and that's why we watch, and respond. I remember playing for a hospice patient, but they brought all of the other residents into the room, and they wanted me to play familiar music for these people and just give them a special treat for the afternoon. And so I had all these people to watch while I was playing. And through my harp strings, I could kind of keep tabs on everybody's reaction. I started to play Somewhere Over the Rainbow. And gosh, who doesn't love that song? But sure enough, there was one little lady that just started to fidget and fuss. And I thought, oh, not a good one. And I just kind of changed into a different song. And then a little later, I thought, I wonder if she was just feeling restless or if it was really that song. So I went back to it and started to play it again. And, oh, she started to get all fussy and upset. And I thought, oh, not a good one for her. So you can't ever take anything for granted, because you never know. That may have been a song connected with a very negative experience in her life. And so we honor that.
Yeah. Well, I think that we need to start using my catchphrase of a dementia aware. I think we need to say we need to be music aware as well, because
Absolutely. That's
what you are. You are music aware, don't you think?
I think that's a perfect phrase for what we do.
Absolutely, and we learn, don't we? You know, you talked a little bit about sometimes there's a physical reason why a certain song might not be a good choice. Can you? I found that comment really interesting. Can you kind of branch out a little bit more about that?
Sure, I'd be happy to. You know, with dementia, usually dementia is not the only issue that someone is dealing with. Usually there are some other physical ailments, medical needs. And I'll tell you a little story that I think points this up. I had a lady that I used to play for regularly in a care facility who had COPD and just great difficulty breathing. She didn't have a bed in her room. She had a recliner because she couldn't lie down. But when I would come to her, she just loved the old tunes, the old standard tunes that her husband used to listen to, and she missed him so much. And we would have these wonderful reminiscing sessions as I would play Smoke Gets in Your Eyes and things like that, Mona Lisa. She loved those songs, and she would reminisce. But one day when I came to her room, I could hear just her crying out for help. And staff members were running to see what was needed. And she was just crying, sobbing, calling. She could not catch her breath. And it was really a crisis. And as I came to the door with my harp, she saw me. She waved to me to come in and said, "It will help. It will help." And on that occasion, it was not a day for a trip down memory lane. It was a real medical crisis that was going on. And as I engaged with her breathing rhythm, it was as if she grabbed onto the rhythms of the music like they were a crutch. And that steadied her and took away the panic. She still could feel the positive emotions of music, even though it wasn't familiar to her. And she began to relax, and she started to breathe more deeply. And at the end of a 20, 30-minute session, she was breathing normally and was comfortable and happy. And she had not needed additional medication. She had not needed staff intervention. She had just needed that comfort that the music could provide for her. When we have dementia patients who have other medical issues, we have to constantly be aware of not stimulating memories and emotions when it would be detrimental to their health.
Right, and they can't process that. They can't
They can't cope with what's going on medically along with all the memories. And so that's a time to just simplify, and just meet the moment on a very basic musical level. And that's part of what we do when we're evaluating a room, is we're saying, is this a time to help with their orientation and their memories and facilitate their comfort in a stressful environment? Or is this a time to manage a medical condition?
You know, in my trainings often, Eileen, I say, as a dementia aware caregiver, we recognize we can't stop it, change it, or fix it when we see these dementia symptoms. But I'm going to have to say that your work is one of those exceptions, because just like you were talking about, you really did, for that moment, fix her and fix how she was, fix how she could cope with that physical loss of even being able to breathe. I can't imagine what it would be like if you couldn't take a breath, and how frightening that would be, and how, indeed, I would love to have you there with me just to help me through it with music if that was the only option. You really still are managing it, because you're not stopping that physical challenge, but it just feels like that was an opportunity for you to save her life, really, for you to give her that little extra coping mechanism so that she could indeed grasp a little bit of strength and relax and let her body do the work that it needed to do. That's how powerful this program is. And it's just really almost a shame that it is so localized here. I'm so lucky because it's here in the Sacramento Valley and in Roseville, and it just needs to be everywhere. And so how do we make people music aware, Eileen? We need to get this information out there.
Well, Music Partners in Healthcare is really trying, and opportunities like this, Laura, are part of the process. But one of the things that I do wherever I am is I educate the caregivers about what I'm doing, that I'm not just there playing pretty music and entertaining people, but this is actually something that is a training. It's a profession. We are doing specific therapeutic interventions. And that's, you know, what I like to tell the caregivers is you can sing a song, absolutely sing a song. Involve music in your day-to-day management. Since you can't change it or fix it, you can manage it so much more easily with music. But when you have loved ones that are in facilities, ask them, do they have people who are trained and certified in this work? Are they just bringing in entertainers, or do they have people who are really trained to offer a therapeutic intervention?
So important. This is so important that we engage with each individual with all of our care approaches, including activities. You know, it is okay that there are some activities where we are just entertaining them. That's okay. That's part of this. But this is so much deeper and richer and more important, because we are actually allowing that person to have the ability to respond in a way that's very unique to them, and to indeed manage some of these feelings that they usually don't have any way to cope with themselves. And I know we talked just a little bit about how important it is for even end of life, and provide the services to people who are faced with that challenge. And we're all going to be faced with that. So what a wonderful way to utilize music to help with an end-of-life transition. You want to talk a little bit more about how powerful that is, Eileen?
It really is a special privilege to companion someone through that process. We are fond of referring to it as creating a sacred space for the family as well, who are otherwise just sitting there watching every breath and wondering, is that it? Is that it? It's so difficult for family. And sometimes I've gone into a room where someone's been near end of life and the TV's been on with these horrible talk shows and everybody's looking at this TV. But when we come in and we begin to play a very specialized style of music for end of life, something that has a great deal of space and ambience, it creates a sacred space for everyone present. And instead of being something that's frightening, it becomes beautiful. For the patient that has had these compelling body rhythms all their life, sometimes they have difficulty letting go of those body rhythms, and yet that's exactly what's happening at end of life. And so we create a music that is largely improvised that allows them to be physically comfortable with the changes taking place in their body. And time again, I've seen them just relax and be comfortable and pass comfortably.
Eileen, I wanted to ask you, because you play the harp, you bring the music to people, is there a distinction in your mind? Because as Laura was talking about, every facility has music programs and so on, different kinds of things like that. But is there a distinction between the live music and recorded music as far as the resonance, the ambience, the connectivity to the patients, the clients?
You know, there is. And one of the things that has received a lot of attention recently has been the iPod project, of loading iPods with favorite music and providing headsets. And that is a wonderful, wonderful program. I am just so pleased to see that taking hold. But it does need people who are trained to interact with the person who is hearing the music. When we come in with live music, we bring a vibration that is much broader than what you would get through headsets. And it literally touches the whole body. it not just through the ears. It synchronizes between the person providing the music and the person receiving the music. There's a synchronization that happens in the brain. And the live music is flexible to see responses and say, ooh, this is working, let's stay with this. And the live music, the response to it seems to linger for hours or even days, and makes a difference. So the vibration.
Yeah, it's like the memory of seeing a live performance of your favorite artist. You talk about it for weeks.
Right.
No difference.
Yeah, it lingers with you. And
And
it has that human connection, not just a headset, but it has that socialization of connecting with another person.
Thank you.
Isn't that just fascinating? My goodness.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much about our lives and our brain and so much that we still have to learn. And isn't this just so fascinating to talk about this? And I just admire you so much, Eileen. I am so happy that you have come into my life and that I can learn from you. And I know Scott feels the same way. I would love to spend some more time with you and have you back on our show. I know that this having you on the show was quite popular on my Facebook account. There, I had lots and lots of likes, and I'm going to listen, and I'm hoping that we had lots of people who did indeed
listen. That's the case.
This truly is fascinating.
Thank you.
And we're almost out of time. Ivan, can you let us know, how can our listeners get a hold of you if they want more information? Can you give some contact information?
Well, our website is www.mpih, Music Partners in Healthcare. So it's mpih.org. And that has contact information. It has, like I said, it has the CD for sale. And that's probably the best way to reach us. We are in many of the care facilities in the Sacramento region and would love to be in more. We would love to hear from people who would like the training to become music practitioners. We could use more practitioners.
We certainly could out there in the world. I know lots of places that could use this, and I would like to get some of your information that when I'm speaking, I can share this information, because I just feel like it is one of those things that people need to know so much more about, especially with those caregivers that are dealing with any kind of dementia, whether they're professional or family. I always like to give them a little bit of hope, some more tools, some more people to build their village, because it takes a village to care for someone with dementia, and they need to be feeling comfortable that there's lots of resources for them to reach out and to enjoy and to utilize to help them get through this dementia care journey. I want to thank everyone for joining us today. You know, we recognize it takes courage to reach out for help, and the most difficult journey is this indeed the journey of dementia care. Nothing in your life prepares you to care for a loved one with any cause of dementia. I can promise you, all of the things you learned about caregiving, we throw them out, the baby out with the bathwater when it comes to dementia. And I feel truly honored that you came to us today seeking our support, as well as the support of all of those listeners. This is more or less a online caregiver support group, and I would like to think that there's lots of people that are really receiving help from this, listening to you, Eileen, and all that you do, and Scott, and all that he does. We all are here for those caregivers. I do want to give a closing thought. I did a little research, and I feel like this one is just perfect for us today. The closing thought is, music washes away from the soul the dust of everyday life. Doesn't that just sound so nice? It just sings it away, or plays it away, or vibrates it away, doesn't it, Eileen?
It does. That is a perfect quote for this setting.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for being here. I do hope that you want to come back And Scott, do you have anything else you'd like to add? We have just a few more seconds. Our hour goes by so fast, doesn't it?
No, I just look forward to getting that CD from Eileen or some format in MP3 so we can load it up to the website and play some of the music during the next show with her. That's what.
Oh, woo. That would be so wonderful. I would love that
too. You
betcha. We'll have to talk about that.
Okay,
well,
good.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It has certainly been a privilege to be here today.
Thank you, and we'll be talking soon, Eileen. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Live with the Dementia Whisperer.
Board's a little slow to respond today.
Are we still connected?
You've been listening to Live with the Dementia Whisperer, featuring Laura Wayman. Get your copy of A Loving Approach to Dementia Care and connect with Laura at laurawayman.com and join the Dementia Whisperers newsletter. Send email questions, ideas, and comments to help@laurawayman.com and join Laura Wayman on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. This is Scott Cluthie, co-host and executive producer. Join us next time for Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman.